Voices of Wisdom Bible Church, the church of a distinct Christian generation.
Application of God's principles to money matters. And of course, the foundation for that study on the application of God's management principle to financial matter or wealth issues was laid last week. But it's important to let you know this before we proceed again today. One, that only ignorance, phobia, prejudice, and sometimes pretension or outright hypocrisy can make a teacher of God's word to avoid discussing issues that are related with riches, wealth, and money. I said a teacher of God's word, not just a preacher. There's a clear difference between a teacher and a preacher. A teacher is a preacher, but not all preachers are teachers. Are we together? And so a preacher can just stick to one subject. A prophet can stick to one subject. This is what I have been given to preach. But a teacher is under heaven mandate to teach the totality of the counsel of God. Am I talking to somebody? So, it is therefore not an aberration to teach about money, about wealth, about prosperity, because all these issues are not left attended to in the Bible. Are we together? They are not left unattended to in the Bible. Now, what must be prevented is the overemphasis of those ephemeral subjects above salvation of souls. Then we must also make sure that what we teach, the content of it, must strictly underscore the word strictly align with the content of the scripture. So what we teach about money, wealth, riches, prosperity must not be self-serving. Like any other subject that we teach must be to the glory of God. Praise the name of the Lord. And so we're going to continue again today, looking at how God's principles can be effectively, correctly, in a godly manner, apply to financial issues. And of course, last week we were guided on how to reject the wrong approach to handling the issue of money. We went on to describe two wrong approaches: the zero spiritual approach and the absolute spiritual approach. We describe the zero spiritual approach as perilous, a situation whereby you seek the things of this world and ultimately you lose your soul. The scripture says, "What then shall that profit a man? For what shall it profit a man that gains the whole world and lose his soul. And of course, it's practically impossible for any man to gain the whole world. As little as your village is, okay, you are only a king, okay, in the corner of your room, not even in your compound. Praise the name of the Lord. Because you share the compound with other members of the extended family. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, the zero spiritual approach is perilous. And then, we mention that the absolute spiritual approach is penurious. A situation whereby everything about you is spiritual and you fail to take care of the practical aspect of your life, you end up living your life in penury. I remember I said, in that kind of situation, with that kind of approach, your Lazarus may or will make heaven, but you live all your life in penury. I pray that the grace to be a balanced Christian will come upon you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And so I strongly recommended the balanced approach, which involves the appropriate blending of relevant spiritual principles with practical financial principles. And when you deploy them, their deployment for use must be done with tact, must be done with sensitivity to the dubious tendency of the people of the world. And so, I cap it up by allowing you to know that for us to live well in the world of men, we must abide by the word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, we raised a typical example from the scripture as our case study. The relationship with the so-called smart, unprofitable servant and his generous, over-trusting master, recorded in Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 16. And the purpose for looking at that case study is to glean wisdom on how to avoid these common religious errors in dealing with issues that are money related, whereby you go with your spiritual mind into business, you go into your spiritual mind into partnership, you go with your spiritual mind to start a business, you go with your spiritual mind to purchase good in the market, you go with your spiritual mind to sign contracts with people who will not apply biblical principle, and at the end of the day you end up being duped because you fail to be tactical, you fail to be conscious of the rules and regulations that guides life outside the church environment. And so, I also recollect that we were repeatedly reminded that the best way to live in the world of men and not lose our faith, and of course, consequently, our soul, is to live by the word of God. And we rounded up on this very important fact that was meant to be an awakening, that the major way to be included in the wealth-making family, somebody say, I am taking my place in the wealth-making family. So the major way to be enlisted in the wealth-making family, okay, is to get yourself included in the circle of those that are making goods and services available in exchange for money. You don't just sit down praying on the mountain, praying in the church altar. You don't just sit down doing nothing and just praying and asking for destiny helper, destiny helper, destiny helper, destiny helper. When you have isolated yourself, when you have excluded yourself from that family that are offering goods and services. I'm not saying you should become a trader, but that skill you have itself can be packaged as a service, okay, that you are going to offer to somebody, and in exchange for that, you get your money. Somebody praise the Lord. And also, we underscore the fact that there is a place for charity, whereby the scripture enjoins the rich to reach out with whatever they have to help the poor. Praise the name of the Lord. Actually, if you are rich and you are not reaching others, you are not doing well. Praise the name of the Lord. But however, as scriptural as that is, it is the marginal side of wealth creation. Are we together? It is the marginal side of you being enlisted, or you being able to overcome penury and live in prosperity and abundance. Peanuts is always what people think about when it comes to charity. Now, commonly speaking, as it applies to most men, if there are people who are accepted, only very few. Anytime you are thinking about what to give to a beggar, you are not always thinking about something big. Are we together? Look at the hardship in the country today. The citizens are not beggars. Whatever problem we are going through today is a creation of the leadership. Are we together? But when they start to think about how to bail us out, then they thought about palliative. And we are all crying and screaming. And they have been very honest. They didn't even call it the common empowerment that we're used to. Are we together? They didn't call it the common empowerment. They call it what? Palliative. Okay. Palliative is the care you give to a dying person that is just marking time before the person will eventually pack up. That in the medical parlance, that is the meaning of palliative. So that goes to further buttress the fact that when it is a matter of charity, okay, those giving charity usually don't have the mindset that they are bringing you out of penury to prosperity. So you should also therefore raise your thinking beyond waiting for the crumb that will fall from the table of the rich. Rather, you yourself trust God, pray, and engage your God-given capacity to either create good or services that you will also offer to those who have money, such that you offer your own service, you offer your own goods, and then you also get money in return. So charity is the marginal side to wealth creation. It's not major. The major is having goods and services that you can offer. So today we are going to still enrich that position, which was canvassed last week, with more biblical example. And so we are starting today's study with two biblical examples. One, how King Solomon exploited family friendship that his father had with King Hiram to establish international trade, though at a trade by barter level. But he was able to fulfill his purpose by being that smart. Two, we're going to examine the parable of the buried talent. You know, three guys were given talents according to their different ability. One was given five. The other was given how many in church? Two. And the last one was given one. So, we're going to learn the mentality of the poor from the one that buried his talent. And in case, if that has been your attitude, you will receive deliverance this morning in the name of Jesus. So, that last week, again, we emphasize, like I said earlier, that money serves its good purpose majorly through exchanging it for goods and services, and marginally through the benevolence of charity. So, generally speaking, money flow mutually towards value. Money flow towards value. So, if the value is high on your side, money will flow there. Hello? So, what you therefore need to do is raise your value. And the moment you raise your value, money will flow towards you. I recollect reflecting after last Sunday's study, I put something on the social media that a poor fisherman with roasted fish need not beg an hungry rich man for money by the seaside. Okay, a fisherman who actually is poor, he doesn't have money, and a rich man is visiting the seaside, and the rich man is hungry. Now, who do you think is supposed to be your guy in that kind of situation? Hello, the fisherman. Should that fisherman go on his knee and begging and say, "Oga, please give me money, Babiala, Tori Olorun, Babiala, Tori Olorun"? It's not wise if he's doing that. All he needs to do is to add value to the fish he already has. Get some stick, okay, and roast it. Probably some vegetable can be around that you can use to garnish the fish and grill the thing locally. The smell of the fish will invite the rich man. And by the time he discovers that the fisherman is eating alone, he will ask, can you sell for me? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, every man is a boss in his territory. If you will engage your opportunity and your capacity. Am I talking to somebody? So, a poor fisherman with roasted fish need not beg an hungry rich man for money by the seaside. But the poor man who has access to the sea but refuse to learn how to catch fish. Hello? o n gbe oti odo o ni idi ti o je ko nguri eja pa o ni tori pe o ni awon to ba la won o ni iwo. So the poor man who has access to the sea but refuse to learn how to catch fish and roast it will certainly beg for bread. Are we together? So most of the time, the problem is not that God has not favored you. The problem is that you are failing to engage your capacity and engage your opportunity. 1 Kings chapter 5. From verse 12, King Solomon had an assignment. He was commissioned to carry out that assignment by his father. His late father was no longer around. The father has made every resources that could be found in their territory available. But there is this big component that will be required to carry out the project. We cannot be found on the soil of Israel. It has to be imported. Are we together? It has to be imported. Let's look at that story in 1 Kings chapter 5 verse 12 and see how Solomon went about it. From verse 1. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God for the words which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now, the Lord my God had given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil or current. You see, such atmosphere is enough to make a man indolent. I said, what else do I want? I can sleep, I can wake up. When I have something to eat, I need food to eat, I eat. Okay, but thank God that this man did not allow comfort to kill his ambition for success. But now, the Lord my God has given rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurring. And behold, I propose. I do what? I propose. To build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. As the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. Now therefore, command thou that they hew me cedar tree out of Lebanon, and my servant shall be with thy servant, and unto thee I will give hire for thy servant. Look at the thinking of Solomon and his approach. Before he will put his request forward for what he needed that was not available in his immediate territory, he first thought about what did he also have. Are we together? And so when he was going to that negotiation table, he was not going as a beggar. He went as somebody that has something he can offer. Are we together? Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servant, and unto thee I will give hire for thy servant according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians. And it came to pass, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly, because he knows that the services that were required of him and the material that he will part with, they are not for free. So he rejoiced. Hello? So rich men are happy to walk with, embrace those who have value to add to them, not people who are just around to drain them. Are we together? He rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord this day, which hath given unto David a wise son over these great people." And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, "I have considered the things which thou sent to me for, and I will do all thy desire concerning timber of cedar and concerning timber of fire. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon unto the sea, and I will convey them by sea in float unto the place that thou shalt appoint me." See how a king that has been on the throne and is a senior king to him suddenly became his messenger. Are we together? "And I will cause them to be discharged there, and thou shalt receive them, and thou shalt accomplish my desire in giving food for my household." So he gave what he asked, okay, to attract what he lacked in a godly manner. Are we together? So Hiram gave Solomon cedar trees and fir tree according to all his desire. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food to his household, and 20 measures of pure oil. Thus gave Solomon to Hiram year by year. And the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two made a league together. Loruko Jesu, egbe olorire ni wa ma ko. Egbe awon ti e o ma ran ra yin lowo o ni wa ma se kini o, ni wa ma ko. Problem opolopo odo ni wipe egbe jaye le nko. E kegbe sise. So here it is very clear how Solomon demonstrated economic intelligence to sponsor his dream project. He translated social capital to economic prosperity. Don't forget, we started by learning about men as economic capital. So the friend of his father was a social asset to him. Hello? So we described men as social capital in our previous study. So the friend of his father, King Hiram, was a social capital. And all the days of his father David, it remained at that level, social capital. But by the time Solomon came on the throne, he translated that social capital to economic prosperity. So your father may not have money, but he has a friend that has money. So what value can you offer to that friend of your father for you not to be as poor as your father? The best use that your father made of his rich friend is to always go to him. Okay? Anytime you want to pay school fees, because he thought, "Come and help me. I want to pay my child's school fees again. I don't have money." Will you also now grow up now, after you have completed your education, you now have a certificate to go and be lying up in his house to beg like your father begged? I forbid it over your destiny. Because that school you went to has enhanced your capacity. If you are not serving that your father's friend, people at his caliber, there's something you can offer them that will change your own status too. Am I talking to somebody? So, Solomon used friendship to a positive economic advantage. He used friendship to a positive economic advantage. Listen to this and listen good. It's impossible to exclude the company a man keeps from his life priority. The the thing that is most important to you, the things that you cherish most, is what I call life priority. And for you to develop the right priority, you must keep the right friends. So it's impossible to exclude the company a man keeps from his life priority. If you keep the friends that will always leave their office after closing hour and return to beer parlor, drinking will be your life priority. Not even providing food for your family. The moment you get your salary, you will first separate the one you are going to use to buy drink for your friends before you even think about how your family will feed. Go and look at the lifestyle of drunkards. And what has brought about that? The kind of company they keep. So it's impossible to exclude the company a man keeps from his life priority. So the circle where you will comfortably be, you will comfortably be at home, will be determined by the values you esteem. So the values you esteem will determine where you will be so comfortable and relaxed. So the value you esteem will determine the priority you will pursue, and of course, the company you will keep. Now, how do you know the right company? The right company must be godly. The right company should also impact on you positively. So assess the company you keep. Assess the people in the circle of your friendship. Are they the type that are impacting on you positively, or those that are impacting on you negatively? So the right company should impact on you positively, both spiritually, intellectually, and of course, economically. So if all you do in your circle of friendship is to gyrate and socialize, you are not doing well. If all you do in your circle of friendship is to gossip and gist, you are not doing well. What impact is the company you keep making in your life? Spiritually, intellectually, and of course, economically. And the church cannot be left out of the company you keep. Hello? Even when you are not intentional about seeing other members of your church as your friend, even when you are not intentional about seeing your pastor as a spiritual father, as a spiritual figure in your life, the reality of it is that since you attend a church, that church must be impacting your life primarily spiritually and in other dimensions of life too. And this will also inform the kind of attitude you will have. So a church that is not impacting on you positively, I don't think that church deserves your offering and tithe. Hello. And where a church is impacting on you positively, okay, and you are also not supporting the ministry of that church, you are not doing well. Hello. So, beside the need for personal commitment of your resources to God, for the worship of God as your creator, there is also a moral side that the church must consider when the church is receiving tithe and offering from the people. So, the morality of the church to expect you to give tithe, offering, and other special donation is because the church is adding value to your life. Are we together? Spiritually, intellectually, socially, career-wise, and in many significant ways that money cannot quantify. Am I talking to somebody? Now, for brevity of time, let's move to the second story to buttress on the need for you to have the right attitude that can enlist you in the family of people that make wealth. So how the parable of the buried talent demonstrates the common malicious hatred of people that are non-enterprising towards the rich. Because the rich could be very rigid sometimes when it comes to applying business principle. The rich, more often than not, have zero tolerance for unproductivity. Are we together? And the people who are not ready to do well, they take that to mean that the rich are mean. That is, the rich are wicked. Matthew 25, from verse 14. Then we read to there about verse 30. It's a story we are already familiar with. We are only drawing an application of it to managing wealth. Verse 14, Matthew 25. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his what? You have your Bible there, or your eyes is fixed on the screen. What did he deliver unto the servant? His goods. Hello? He didn't give them stipend for merriment, stipend for breakfast. What he delivered unto them were his what? Goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and did in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants come in and reconnect with them. I want you to take note. Whose money did he hide? Answer me. His Lord's money. You will now see how he eventually contradicted himself when he was asked to give account. His Lord's money. And then he could open his mouth later and said, you take from where you did not sow. Is that not obvious contradiction? Let's read on. And so, he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Your hands will be profitable at business. In the mighty name of Jesus. Your mind will be quick to think how to multiply things in the name of Jesus. You will not have a blind mind. You will not have a barren mind in the name of Jesus. Your mind will be productive in the name of Jesus. Your hands will produce results in the name of Jesus. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, one of the things the master did deliberately was what the unprofitable servant failed to recognize. So, when the master was asking them to account there, okay, you will take note that the one that received the 5 talents was told that he has been faithful over a few things. So, which means giving them few was deliberate on the part of the master to prove them, to test them, and see how they will handle it. So, which means the capacity of the one that had 5 is far beyond just 5. But the master started with 5. You see, if you don't learn how to appreciate little, you can never be trusted with many. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou devise unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, the commendation of the one that received 5 and the one that received 2. Can you find the difference? No difference. So, the other one that eventually opened his mouth and started to vomit rubbish about the master, do you think he's the one that has, don't you think he's the one that has a problem? If he has done the right thing, that's the way he will also be commended. Because the master will not demand from them beyond what he has handed over to them. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. Hello? The non-enterprising poor man mentality. Presumption. Hello? What do I call it? Presumption. I knew thee. And all that he claimed to know, okay, by virtue of what we have seen today, they are wrong about the master. Presumption. And by presumption, he developed hatred for his master. And so he could not walk with his master with a good spirit. Presumption is a killer of relationship at any level. Between husband and wife. If you cannot trust, if you always be suspicious, you won't enjoy that marriage. Are we together? If you can't trust your children, you always throw wrong accusations at them and you make them angry. Then which I received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man. The man that you did not apply to, you did not apply loan from him, who just decided on his own and said, let me empower my servant. And then you open your mouth, you say, he's an hard man. Reaping where thou hast not sown. Yet the man parted with his own hard hand money and gave to him. And gathering where thou hast not straw. And when he came and they were giving report, the man was not demanding more than what he has given. Yet he was giving this kind of account about his master. It's a mentality problem. What do I call it? And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. So a lot of people, to cover their indolence, to cover their attitude of they don't want to do anything, they just want free meal all the time, okay, they will always look for somebody in their family to tag, either a uncle or an auntie. Okay, and only one of me love to bat you, and me love one name, no batty got you by law. Bet they back bear and one of one nut, huh? Eh? Walk by that, don't say we're basu basu nani. Am I talking to somebody? Please, I'm not here to teach those who have advantage to be wicked. But I am here to teach those who think they are disadvantaged to wake up. Am I talking to somebody? Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Or if actually that is true about me, then there's a different way by which you can handle people like me. That was what the master was saying. Invariably, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I shall receive my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which had 10 talents. Hello? Now, if he now goes around and tell the story, he will only tell the latter part of the story. I have one, and my master collect it from me and give it to... He won't tell what led to what the decision his master took. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But for him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he had. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this servant with one talent, I consider him a typical example of the attitude of those who hate the rich people for no justifiable reason. His actual problem was lack of investment mentality. He therefore mistook his master's demand for productivity in business matters as hostility. He has a problem of lack of investment mentality. Now, looking at his master, who had a flair for productivity, he now took that as hostility against him. Looking at the other two servants, if any sentiment favored them at all, and they were commended for it, what they were actually commended for is their mental attitude towards investment. Like, I drew your attention to it, that what their master delivered unto them was his goods, his own business. He didn't give them gifts. So, why would anyone blame him for expecting profit? So why will you now also borrow cooperative money and expect that it should be converted to a gift? Or you go to a prayer meeting and begin to pray that they should write off. That's witchcraft. Are we together? That's what? Witchcraft. Because some people gather this money and they gave it to you to do business and you chop them. Hello? Or why yale alawo wi pe kan gbagbe e te ba ti wa fe lo pade wa lo fi kini kankan nu lo amoje n se mi lowo imo. Hallelujah. Bo gba ru adura e ni source yi ko ni gba mo ni loruko Jesu ru adura o ni gba. To ba wa gbadura pe Oluwa ran ran lowo si mi. Mi o fe sowo yi basu basu ogun ti de ran ran Oluwa wa ran ran lowo si o. Iru adura to ma ngba ni wo sisi niyan. Are we together? Loruko Jesu wa ri ran lowo gba. Loruko Jesu oju oni ti o. Iwo na okugun so le. O gbianju.
ntaye nje lode lo daru olorun alatunse yo tunse olorun alatoto yo bo toto wa didele kan si in the name of Jesus. So like we said last week, we are re-emphasizing again, those who think the only way of living the good life is by receiving charity from the rich can never be the best friend to those who insist on productivity as the authentic means of making wealth. So as employee in an organization, your input must justify your pay. If they employ you to work in a place, your input must justify your pay. So, and where you are demanding salary raise, you must be prepared to offer improved service to justify the new pay. Am I talking to somebody? So, I cap it up again with some of those things we said last Sunday, because you need to hear them again and again until you imbibe them as principle to live your life in the business world. So, the category of people that hate the rich, who insist on productivity and take that as hostility, often mistake piety to mean becoming the enemy of the rich. Perish that presumption. Such people enjoy the company of the poor, not because they love the poor or they are in a position to help them, but because they are envious of the rich. And so they take on the ministry of gossip instead of taking on the ministry of facing their business. The only thing that can bind such people to you, like we said last week, is misfortune. And of course, at the faintest smell of success in your corridor, that alone is enough to make them also hate you with passion. So until you monkey and awon alaile kan se korira re yo ma sele nu aye e sami. So I tag them as enemies of success, and all you need to do to offend them is to start recording success. So their attitude is unlike our Lord Jesus Christ, who kept the company of both the poor and the rich. He extolled the godly virtue of Lazarus, but he was at the same time a friend to Joseph the Arimathea and others in that category. And so, like we maintained last week, we are maintaining again as we draw the curtain to continue next week with the philosophical origin of money. We are maintaining again that as Jesus kept his prophetic position with the rich, in order to fulfill his ministry to the poor, we all equally need wealth to help the poor. May God bring you to that level whereby you have wealth to help the poor. In the name of Jesus, rise on your feet and lift up your two hands. Sọ pe Oluwa gbe mi na soke ke mi na le ma ran awon alaini lowo. Iriri ki ma toro o ti dopin loni o ya dura ni oruko Jesu. Lord, help me to also become the helper of the helpless. Help me, Lord, to also become the helper of the helpless. In Jesus' name we pray. Get those hands lifted again and say, Lord, what I am doing as business, what I am doing as business will not end up as mere food. It will become great wealth. We are talking to the Lord in the name of Jesus.
what I'm doing for a living will not end up as mere oluwa ohun ti mo nse ko kan ni je ase je nikan mo pe asa n ro njeje olorun o re ran lowo si wo na iwo na ri pa ti se iwo na ro na gbegba loruko Jesu o ma dara fun e. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, whenever, Lord, you send your word, it's always with a purpose. Spirit of grace. Spirit of blessing. Spirit of wealth. Wealth that builds the kingdom. Wealth that helps the poor. Let that grace come upon you. In the name of Jesus. If you can smell it, gbogbo igba ti ilu ba le Olorun a ma yan awon kokan a de gbe won lori soke a de fa won jade lati inu inira to nsele ka akiri e de ri pe eni ka de tayo Oluwa eni to ma ti inu egun yi tan bi ododo egun inira ta nla koja lowo lowo ni orileede yi Oluwa o fi ose okan ninu won wa ri ba ti se wa rona gbegba loruko Jesu o ma dara fun eni agbogbo. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, God bless you.
We believe you'll be blessed by the ministry of this message. You will do well to be the doer of all you've heard. For further inquiry and spiritual help, contact this number 080-3568-5882 or worship with us at Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church, adjacent University of Ilorin Teaching Hospital, Okeosi, Ilorin. God bless you.